Okay, we're going to continue on to new business, and I've got, I've asked Warren to give us a quick overview of this, of the RFP process that we went through. So take it away, Warren.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, members of council, I'm pleased to report to you at this time that staff, in conjunction with the two assigned members of council, have completed the process of choosing the vendors that we would be using for our core services of community development, public works, and finance and administration. I wanted to give the council a very brief overview of the process that we used, and also for the public. The process that we used to formulate the RFPs, we developed a very detailed scope of services in each of the three service areas, included that with a general instruction sheet within a request for proposals. The request for proposals was advertised widely, and then interested firms in each of those areas, plus other subcontractors, were asked to display their interest. This process was coordinated through our contract with vendor Boykin International. Once the we had received the interest in the proposals, those proposals were made available to those vendors, and a deadline was generated for submission of the proposals. Prior to the deadline of the submission of the proposals, the city held a mandatory pre-bid meeting where each of the vendors were required to attend an informational session where they had the opportunity to ask questions and receive responses. Any responses that were not available at that meeting were then presented to them in writing to all of the vendors who attended the pre-bid meeting. Subsequent to that, we also issued an addendum to the original request for proposals that clarified things from the pre-bid meeting, plus any other items that we felt either needed to be added or clarified at that time. In addition to that, the vendors presented to us written questions. We provided written answers to that and provided that again to all firms that that were in attendance at the pre-bid meeting that were anticipated to provide proposals. On the date that the proposals were due, any proposal that met the general requirements of the RFP and were considered qualified were evaluated by a committee. The committee consisted of Councilman Chortle, Councilwoman Bonser, and myself. Also, Boykin International participated in that process in a non-voting method to give us their opinion based on their expertise. After all the proposals were reviewed, they were evaluated in a quantitative measure. Scores were given as per the instructions in the RFP in the areas of historical background, abilities of the firm, and their responsiveness to the RFP. From that breakdown, firms were chosen based on how they scored on that initial evaluation and were asked to come in for an interview. The interview was held, Councilman Chortle, Councilwoman Bonser, and myself conducted the interviews with these selected firms. We were all present for each of the presentations, so the consistency was there in the process. At the time that these firms were invited in for the interviews, we also asked them to give us a seal package, their fee proposal, based on the requirements within the RFP. So as you can see, the initial interviews were based on the quality of the firms, not necessarily based on their fee proposal. At the conclusion of all of the interviews, Councilman Chortle, Councilwoman Bonser, and myself repeated the exercise of filling out these evaluation forms, and this time included our evaluation of their fee proposal. The fee proposal was a small segment of the total evaluation. I believe it was 75% was non-fee based related and 25% was based on a fee. At that time, we took the entirety of those evaluation forms from the firms we interviewed, tallied them using the quantitative measures that were given to the vendors prior to our evaluation and their interviews, and selected the top-rated firms within those categories. to ask, and then brought them in one more time after we selected them as the sole finalist in those areas, and then had a scope meeting where we made sure that they understood very clearly what the requirements were going to be through the process. At that time, then we came to council with letters of intent, and council then authorized authorized the city to negotiate final contracts with these firms. What you have before you today is three contracts that I believe council will deal with separately on your agenda. And this is the approval of the final contract between the city of Dunwoody and the firm of Clark Patterson Lee for community development, low engineering for public work services, and Calvin Giordano and Associates for finance and administration services. And I'd be happy at the appropriate time to answer any questions you have on the contracts, the scope of services, or the schedule of values. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you have on the process as well.
Anybody have any questions for me?
Adrian.
I just wanted to make one quick point, just for interest. We very wanted interest just to check to see how our evaluation looked. And we actually put out the PCT. I don't know if you were there for that, but Don Boykin had us take out the fees and just see how we evaluated them. And interestingly enough, the numbers that we chose came out as number one, even whether the fees were in or the fees were paid. I just thought that was an interesting number.
Well, I've got actually specific questions on these proposals, so let me wait till they're introduced as an action item, and then I'll ask my questions. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Warren.
All right. Discussion and vote on approving the final contract for Clark Patterson Lee for Community Development Services for the City of Dunwoody.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr.
Approved. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. Second discussion. Robert?
Yeah, I just had two quick questions, Warren. One, there's a schedule of services in here, and there's some alternative adds and some alternative detracts. And maybe I missed it. I couldn't see where those adds and detracts were in the contract as to which ones we wanted and which ones we didn't.
Sure. If you look at, and I apologize, there's no page number, but at the conclusion of the contract, there's an Exhibit D. Which is the letter of agreement, which is just past the schedule of values.
Yeah.
It's dated December 10th, 2008. I'll wait till y'all come to that letter.
You know, I brought a copy. I can't find it in there, but I know I got a copy.
No problem.
This is the letter we're talking about.
It may be updated. Is it December dated 10th, December 10th? And
it is dated
to my attention?
Yeah.
Okay. If you look at the number 5,
there it is.
This is one of the add alternates on code enforcement. We accepted the add alternate number 1, which is, if you'll recall, the city it was debating at the time whether or not we were going to provide code enforcement as a fee-based service or as a contract service. We accepted their add alternate 1, which has this as a contract service for code compliance. We also acknowledged on item number 7 that we have declined deductive alternate number 1, which was the idea of bringing the community development director as in-house staff. We have declined that deductive alternate and have that is also part of the contract services.
And my other question had to do with the same letter. I worry that there's a potential ambiguity in that sentence, and I'd love for you to help me understand it. It's in item number 2 in that letter, and it says the method of fee structure is conditional upon building permit fee rates that are not lower than DeKalb County's permit fee rates. Upon 60 days written notice, this fee may be converted to a prorated lump sum. And what's not clear is at whose request can it be converted? I assume that it's at our request, that we can convert it to a lump sum, and that they don't have that option. But it isn't clear here. I'd hate for them to come to us and say, okay, the volume of permits is so low, we're not making any money, we'd like to convert this into a flat rate.
Okay. I would recommend that the confirm how you do this structurally, since it's a letter from them to us, but if we can modify that to, for clarification purposes, that we can
additionally,
if they'll sign it, then it becomes okay. And that is the understanding I have as well, is to find 60 days written notice provided by the city of Glenwood.
If we can decide we'd rather go to fixed fee.
That is the understanding to the party.
That's my question.
And to just explain if anybody's confused, what this is that what we've agreed to is that whatever permit fee revenue is generated for building permits, that we agree in exchange for the services of plan review and inspection by certified building officials and inspectors, that we will pay 80% of any of that revenue that we generate. The idea behind that is it becomes at the contractor's risk. In other words, if there's very little permit revenue, you're still going to be providing the same personnel, but it's at their risk. If the economy turns and we are generating significant amount of building permit revenue from activity, we will pay them on a lump sum basis upon 60 days written notice by the city. So it really gives us the economic flexibility to take advantage of the changing times in the economy and make sure we're not overpaying for services in a bad economy and and just the opposite in a more robust economy, which we are looking for very, very soon.
I think it's just right here.
A couple of things. In the agreement, you've got mission, vision, and values, but you only have the goals of the values. You don't actually have the values that are listed in here. And I think the values should be included in their entirety as adopted by the council. And secondly, as the vendors that we're talking about here in total are all going to be signing on to the code of ethics that we approved on numerous occasions, as we talked about earlier today, that should also be included as one of the things that they sign on to with this agreement, to adhere to the code of ethics that we put in place.
I think there's a line here on page 2 that says contractors shall also abide by the city ethics policy as maintained in the city ordinance.
Right, but will they actually execute a document that...
We can have them do that. Yeah. I don't think it necessarily needs to be a matter of the contract, but that's up to the council.
I guess they signed the contract, proof.
But that's up to council. I'd be happy to put
I think it should be an addendum to the contract, quite frankly, so that they'll know what they're signing on to.
Mark, could you just explain real quickly, the amount right now is 525 in building inspections and permits, and then only number 2 on the letter. If we went to the, we gave them 60 day notice, which we would go to the 569 lump sum.
That's correct. And the distinction there is that what we've put in that lump sum is that they will bill us at what we estimate they would receive in building permit revenue, and then we will true up each month. So it would be based on actuals, not on the estimate. And then if we go to a lump sum, then we would pay them on that fee divided by 12 or 13.
Any other questions?
Okay. Just watching the process, these two folks put it, and everybody involved, Boykin, Warren, everybody did a ton of time. A lot of late nights to get the sink in under the wire, saves a lot of money. Running with those folks. Then Warren, once you get your cot out of his office.
I'm moving over there. They had to kick Danny out. Forcibly.
Second emotion.
All right. Wonderful. Yes, thank you, Warren.
Okay. Is it appropriate for me to ask for a conditional approval, provided that we get clarifications from the vendor that this option for a lump sum is an option of the city's and not an option of the vendor's?
I think the appropriate way to handle this is in your motion is to clarify that and amend the letter and then pass it as such, and then we will make that change. And they if they sign the contract, they agree. If they don't sign the contract, then we'll come back to you. But I can guarantee that we'll sign under that clarification, because that is what we agreed to.
Yeah, that is the kind of thing I understand.
I would include it in the motion.
We can include it that way and make it feel better.
So I'd like to make an amendment that we modify the sentence that upon 30 days written notice, this fee may be converted.
60 days.
60 days written notice, this fee may be converted by the city to a prorated lump sum.
Second.
What I would recommend is that when we give the contract, and they've actually already signed this, we're going to send them a letter saying that is our interpretation. If you don't agree with this interpretation, please notify us immediately within a set time, or this is the interpretation.
Okay. Second discussion on it. See the discussion, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
It gets back to the original item as amended. Any other discussion?
Going through the contract, can I get assurances that the commercial electrical inspections will be done by certified inspectors? Is that
yes,
correct?
Sir. Absolutely.
Can you tell me about the quality of the people who do the review of the building, electrical, plumbing, and HAVC plans?
Absolutely.
I didn't see all that. Could you just do some detail as far as who's doing those types of inspections and certifications?
Certainly. There was a gentleman specifically hired and is now an employee of Clark Patterson Leaf for this role. Will be dedicated 100% to the city of Dunwoody through administering building code, providing inspections, and will also be serving as the lead on our code enforcement efforts. I do not have a copy of his resume with me, so I cannot quote to you the list, but I understand the list takes many, many pages. He has received very nearly, if not all, certifications that are allowed for, provided within ICC. He's most recently worked within the city of Smyrna as their lead building official and has an excellent reputation.
Great, thank you.
Any other discussion? All right, seeing that there's none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? There are none. The contract is amended. Passes. All right, action item number two, discussion and vote on approving the final contract with Lowe Engineering.
Letter of information.
Yes, Danny.
So the city attorney advised the members of the council via email that they have accepted the terms that council member Steen mentioned.
Yes, absolutely. All right, number two, discussion and vote on approving the final contract with Lowe Engineering for public work services for the city of Dunwoody.
I hear the motion for approval.
Motion to defer.
I second the motion to defer.
Okay. Discussion on that?
Yes. There will say we actually haven't seen this final.
Right.
I have a question also.
Right.
Because we had asked them specifically for a lane mile, you know, fee for the salt and sanding. And the road is 17 inches on. For one lane mile, for one time.
Right. I can clarify a little bit. I can't. Chris may be able to, or may not be able to speak to the reasoning behind the fee, but in that section on the unit costs, is my understanding that that is not a fee that we are going to be agreeing to if that service is provided here as the fee. That is the estimate at this time of what it will cost. The way that this contract has been rearranged since the original version that you've seen is that we are agreeing by contract to pay as a guaranteed amount the labor portion that's involved in this contract, and that the other costs associated with it have been moved into a more discretionary role. So I'll give you an example. The traffic signal maintenance in their original proposal is $282,000. The way it stood under the original proposal is that we would pay them $282,000 divided by 13 each month, regardless of whether they provided traffic signal maintenance or not. The recommendation to the council, and which the vendor has agreed to, is to take that 282, as an example, move that into a city budgeted line item, and with my authority, that money can be spent as needed. The reason that I think that's an attractive feature for the city is that there will be ample funds available to do traffic signal maintenance. There is a certain uncertainty in that when they place their bids, they have never had access to traffic signal boxes. And we're not certain at what level we want to provide that. Obviously, we want to provide service where the traffic signals work, but You know, there is some complexity to it that, you know, we have some choices. The secondary reason for moving into a discretionary account is that, say, for example, we choose not to spend the whole 282. Now we can take some of those funds, either move it to another area of public works where we have maybe have a higher priority on potholes or curbs or sidewalks, or in the event that in the other two instances that are possible, one is that our revenues do not come out as strong as we are anticipating. This will give us flexibility of funds that we have planned to expend that we can move into contingency or into fund balance reserve. The other alternative is that if the council chooses at a later date that they want to add money into police services or in some other area that becomes a higher priority, you have the flexibility to do such. If you leave it in the contract amount, then you're guaranteeing that you're going to give that company that amount of money for something you may not want to at a later date.
Any other questions?
No. I was asking for deferral for the main reason that this hasn't come before the council, at least electronically, until we see it here today in paper. As much as I trust my cohorts, my council members, and I trust the job that you've done, I want to be able to read this document. I have a number of questions on it, and I haven't been able to thoroughly go through it. If council, if you could go through it a little bit and tell us the high points of it, in the sense of the, what was I looking for? Just a number of points. For example, the laser truck in there, as far as the road certification.
Yes.
Is the Brook Run maintenance, not only maintenance, but a evaluation of the park system to make sure the buildings are secured if we were to obtain the property or take control of the property. I didn't see that in there.
I can address both of those if you'd like me to. First, the laser truck is included in their proposal on the assessment of the city streets.
Okay.
And that will be, I believe, done in March, I think is the goal date. At this point, they've done a eyeball of the, I think almost of all the roadway of the arterials and collectors in the city, and then we're going to run the laser truck in March. And that's the bulk of that $100,000 cost. That right. is in the base bid portion that we will are required to pay them. On the Parks and Recreation, there's two segments to this. One is on the staff and labor supply side, and then also on the operations and maintenance side. On the staffing side, the services that we're providing is the operation of the parks and the scheduling of the different facilities within the park. So they will be in de facto running and providing that service. They also have, I believe it's $161,000 in their bid.
167,
thank you, for Parks and Recreation maintenance. And that will include the basic maintenance services on the buildings, facilities, and then also the grass cutting, the garbage pickup, and then any minor repairs that are necessary. As you get into more major repairs or anything significant that the city wants to do, for example, if we wanted to replace all of the HVAC cooler and it was an expensive item, that would be something that would come out of our capital costs and not out of their responsibility.
Right.
So it's kind of the day-to-day normal routine maintenance of the park is on them, and then anything larger is on us. The securing of the facilities, depending on the scope of that, if it's minor, they'll take care of it under their contract. If it's something major where, say, for example, we wanted to put a chain link fencing around the entire facility, that cost would fall onto us.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that the securing of the buildings was part of the contract. Final thing, the cost, the alternate for WOMAC. Can you give me an update as far as WOMAC Road and the evaluation of
sure.
property in the sense of the new school?
They did put in into their original base bid an estimate of $338,000 for WOMAC Road improvements. The city pulled out that from their base contract for two reasons. One was that with the information available to them at the time, it wasn't a price necessarily that was going to stick depending on the eventual scope of services and the exact design that would go into the construction of that. The secondary reason is that what, from a philosophical standpoint, we're paying for in this particular contract is really the staff expertise, and what they're providing to us on a day-to-day basis is one PE, public works director, and a support person, and then two deputy directors, which are also PEs, that are serving in a less than 100% capacity, but we will always have someone available to us regardless of vacation, sick. If there one's at a meeting, we got the other one, which actually happened today. So from a staff expertise, they will assist us on these capital projects with providing the oversight and maintenance oversight of any capital projects that we do. And then other firms may do the actual design services and put in CDs together for these projects, and then we'll bid them out competitively for construction. And one of the advantages to doing a contract like this with a private firm is that they will then provide the expertise to advise the city on the most cost-efficient and effective way to do those improvements, and then oversee the contractors and the engineers through the design and construction phases.
So the design of WOMAC or the construction bid has not been done yet. Is that correct? Okay. Thank you.
John, just on page 7 of the scope of services, you asked me about the laser truck.
Right.
And where the laser truck would be. There's the last item down there. The
docks. See it. Got it.
You guys did. Mm-hmm. Okay. I have another comment. We've asked, you know, and Warren was very instrumental in breaking some of this out, so that, you know, as he just said, you know, if we only have to spend $100,000 on the street signs and signals, et cetera, he would have discretionary $180,000 to spend on potholes or various other places. That gives us the flexibility to him to decide how this goes. The cost, the preventive maintenance cost down there, is not figured into the cost as it originally was. We had it in there at the beginning. But we have somebody here from Lowell tonight.
Yeah, right there.
And I'm just wondering if we can, I have a question that I would like to ask him. If that is possible, can we do that within the realms of parliamentary procedure?
Yeah, sure. Mr. Mayor, point of order.
Yeah.
We have a motion to defer in a second.
Yes,
so
right.
What we really have is only the ability to move on the motion to defer. And if we decide not to defer it, I think we can move forward with it, but if we decide to defer it, then I think it comes up at the next meeting.
Well, I think we're still in discussion, though, on deferral, which this is appropriate.
I think it's germane to the situation in that some of these figures
It's just that we haven't read the document.
It's
impossible for us to have an intelligent discussion on something that we got hated as we walked into the room. So we can talk, but we're going to have to visit again, I guess.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, just a suggestion. If the council chooses to defer it, staff's recommendation is just to defer it to a date certain, which I think the next meeting that you have is the 29th. Mm-hmm. of this month. I think that would be important just from the vendor standpoint to know that this isn't being tabled until, you know, some magical maybe date in January, but, you know, to a state specific, which I think, you know, to the 29th would certainly give you all enough time. Also, I do want to publicly explain the reason why this one was left out and the other two were included is that up to the last second, we were still making modifications to the document to make sure that we had clarification. We did an additional scoping meeting with them. I think it was 3 o'clock on Tuesday of this week even, so that was a bit, I apologize, we just were not able to get all the final language in there, and there should have been notation to y'all when the packets were delivered that this one was left out, not by mistake, but because it was being delayed. That would have given you at least a comfort level of knowing that it wasn't just kind of snuck onto y'all.
Okay, Danny?
Yeah. Again, one of the things I don't know if you brought up, Aaron, but the plan prevention in Section 1.4 there, those costs are maximum costs. They may be less than that. Just, that's not a big point. It's just a small point.
I think it's important, if I may, Councilman, just to point out on the unit cost also, what's important here is that the cost of asphalt and other materials will fluctuate all through the course of the year. And one of the advantages of this contract, as I explained before, is the expertise we're buying is that when we do these packages, it may be advantageous to us to take 7 streets at one time and pave those seven streets at a time when the weather is warm and the cost of asphalt and topping is going to be low, and then use the expertise of the PEs that we have on staff to be able to put the specs together and get us the best price with the best contractor. So agreeing to all the prices up front, although that puts some risk onto the contractor, it also puts us in an opportunity where we may not get the best price. So that's why we've done this in this way instead of kind of a lump sum with a service level guarantee.
You've got any other discussion?
Your motion to defer the next meeting.
Yeah, so we have a motion to defer. There's a second. Any other discussion on this before we vote?
Is it possible that we can have the gentleman from the poll up
there
to ask a question?
Absolutely.
Chuck? It's Chris, not Chuck. Certainly not Rich.
The question I have, this is the first time I've seen, I was in the meeting on Tuesday, but I didn't mention, we did not have the sand salt spreading lane mile cost. I think that cost is extremely high.
I didn't bring a copy of the contract with me.
$750 a lane.
You said it's five over.
I think it's all the stuff.
Well, I'll push it off.
The, Dennis, I'd have to say I didn't calculate that number myself, but all these numbers are based on what we've experienced in our contracts with other cities. I can't, be happy to, as Warren said, our attempt here and our goal is to try to make these prices as flexible as possible. Give you an example, over the last 8 months, the price of asphalt has gone up and down over 400%. And historically, asphalt has been a predictable 3.5% rise per year. So those types of things are causing some very unusual variations in unit prices. Again, I'd be willing to, and we're more than flexible to make that transparent and make it into something of a labor and materials type price, if that's acceptable to you, Dennis. We're not here to try to get rich off sand and salt. None of us on a quarry. We're just trying to give the city the best price we can within reason of what we can be known to expect coming up in this year.
Okay, my point is I think you really need to revisit that number.
Okay.
I mean, that number is... All right, any other discussion on this referral?
It was helpful to us. And it was helpful to me. Chuck explained that using the 8-man crew is actually more efficient. Any questions about that? Can you explain that to the council so they understand the difference between a 2-man, 5-man, 8-man crew?
Well, the you're talking about as far as
production
and asphalt. There are efficiencies in the number of people you put out on site. You get too few, and you've got people trying to cover too many bases at one time. Your production efficiency goes down because you don't have enough bodies spread around. You get too many, and you've got the shovel cropping operation going on that many of us are familiar with, the Georgia DOT or other places, and we certainly don't want to throw manpower or something just for the sake to be able to say to you that we responded and put 50 people on a project and had 40 of them watching 10 of them work. So there are some efficiencies in those operations, and that gets down to logistics and actual tasks at hand. That translates into asphalt paving, into pothole repair. Every operation that we do, that's something that we always look at as a firm. Even, for instance, for our surveying services we offer, and we vary the number of people we put on survey crew. Again, based on the task at hand, some tasks are more efficient with a 2-person crew, some are more efficient with a 4-person crew, depending on what's happening. So as you look at the number of person crews and we price those out, we recognize there will be different types of tasks to be performed, and we wanted you to have a unit price based on what would be the most efficient at the time that we would work with Warren to do.
Okay, wonderful. Any other discussion? The motion is to defer to the 29th. And no, Rob.
Let me ask this question. Is the 29th the right date? a lot of people, a fair number of council members are not going to be here on the 29th, including Councilman Short, who's sort of been one of the people who shepherded this. Is everybody comfortable with the 29th? That'll give us enough time to read it. I just don't know why.
The only question we have, the only thing we haven't discussed with them is the sand and salt, and that was kind of my thing. I wanted to know how much it was going to cost. I mean, I'll be honest, I feel like they've been very generous in helping us be very flexible. So,
Adrian, one of the other things that may be affecting that unit price is typically the sand and salt spread. It's not during the daytime 9 to 5 operation. It's going to be in the middle of the night when we get weather forecasts that something needs to be done. So it could be something else that's affecting that.
I'm going to buy a sand and salt truck.
Thank you. Well, that's how we can be.
Okay, any other discussion? See that there's none. All in favor of deferral, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Be sure to put the sand out after you plow.
Oh, get it out of the way. Yes, sir.
To the 29th, is that what was it?
Thank you.
Chris, your new name is Chuck.
I'll answer to anything.
Mr. C. Let's say Mr. C. All right, action item, discussion and vote on approving the final contract with Alvin Giordano and Associates for Financial and Administrative Services for the City of Denver.
I move we accept it, Penny.
I'll second.
Good.
Thank you, Robert. Discussion on that.
Punching you.
Robert?
Just one observation. It is not worth trying to change in this particular contract. But going forward, as we look at contracts, I would dearly love to see a section in all of our contracts called services out of scope, so that we help define what we are buying in part by what we are clearly not buying. And that was in the other one that we reviewed. There was a section that said services that were out of scope. This one doesn't have such a section, and I think it would have made it a stronger document if we could evaluate what's not included, what might come in as an extra charge.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Any other discussion or questions?
Basically, the main issue that was there tonight has been solved. We have solved that, and it has to do with the art charts, where they have project manager, an assistant project manager. We had some feelings that was a duplication of effort on the heavy side. What they're actually going to do with that position is probably remain that one from the budget that warrants discretion. And the other thing that makes this bid rather unique is that the personnel, a lot of them are going to be highly cross-trained, if you will, so that they can perform other duties like one is very evident would be the court, to assist in the court. So I think to date, Calvin Giordano and JOT, there have been some that have performed very well. I feel very comfortable with them, and I recommend that we approve the contract as it is.
Any other discussion? Seeing that there's none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, Jody, back to you.
Yes, sir, thank you.
Louisiana.
This will be a first reading. This is an ordinance to adopt and approve Chapter 25, Water, Sewer, and Sewage Disposal, providing for inclusion and identification in the code of ordinances for the City of Dublin, Georgia, to be referenced in the future as Chapter 25, Water, Sewer, and Sewage Disposal, as attached hereto and incorporated herein. This is a first read, Mayor.
Thank you.
He's kind of excited.
Boy, howdy. Nothing better than talking about sewer. All right, so since it's a first read, we don't have discussion on that. Will you give us the next first read, please?
Yes, sir. This will be a first read of an ordinance to adopt and approve the interim comprehensive plan for the City of Dunwoody, Georgia.
All right.
Next on our agenda, Mayor, is an ordinance to adopt and approve the interim future land use map for the city of Dunwoody, Georgia, at first read only.
You have it? I don't have that. That's not on here.
I think we're lost. It's not on the agenda, but it's in our book.
No, that one is supposed to be in council.
No problem. It's May on that first day, right?
You get that?
Second. All right, so we did first read of chapter 25, water sewer. Disposal. Next one should be chapter 16.
No, she just did that. She did this one.
All right.
She did that one.
Well, that's it. Maybe it was my pause.
No, sir, I apologize. I've not read chapter 16. Well, we're taking that off, correct?
No.
I apologize.
You just read that.
No?
Okay, all right.
You just said
you
had
to answer.
I have had suffered, so my brain might not be functioning.
No, it's not.
I apologize.
Guilty, it's them.
What?
Guilty is charged
with them. I apologize. With your permission, Mayor?
Yes,
please. An ordinance to adopt and approve Chapter 16, Offenses and Violations, providing for inclusion and identification in the Code of Ordinances for the City of Dunwoody, Georgia, to be referenced in the future as Chapter 16, Offenses and Violations, as attached hereto and incorporated herein. First read.
All right, thank you. All right, the next is an action item, discussion vote on approving expenditure for sexually oriented business license ordinance expert presentation.
Want to move to approve that? With a comment?
Okay, well, I'll second
discussion.
How much? Yeah, that would help.
I've got a question. Since we've already had the presentation, we vote not to approve this one. Is it the second time?
We're
going to
discuss
the fee. I'll
tell you what it is. The fee was $5,000. Now, it's also contingent on him doing the map work. We haven't finalized the map work, so I would say if we approve the fee, his scope of work, he's going to have to do the map work when we get a final set of maps for our revised schedule.
Next question.
Yes.
Why are we approving a $5,000 purchase? That's well within Warren's ability.
Yeah, because we don't have an approved budget. If we had approved budget, I would agree with you.
Okay, any other questions?
Is that falling into miscellaneous budget?
Yes. Well,
it would be under legal services.
Legal fees.
And typically, if there was an appropriation authority, then I could pay for it, and I would never bring that something that small beyond.
Any other questions, discussions? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, discussion vote on approving resolution. So, Joni, do you have this resolution?
Yes, sir, I do. That would be resolution 2008-1228, the resolution adopting and approving the scheduled fees for business occupation taxes and licensing in the city of Dunwoody, Georgia, which is included as attachment A, and authorizing the mayor and city manager or their designees to execute any and all documents necessary for the implementation thereof.
Move we adopt the resolution to move the occupational taxes and license fees.
I'll second.
Discussion? Yes, Robert.
I'd like to suggest a one-word change. Apologize, everybody. The first line where it says business categories, that should read business classes, so that it matches with the text down below where we provide the cost for each class.
Okay, that change, that would probably not require an amendment, would it? That's just a type.
That would actually change, but I guess that change has not made it.
It was brought up to the work
session. It was brought up, the work session did get changed. So. No, there is a version that hasn't changed, but it's not in the final.
Okay, then can you please clarify, do we need an amendment to change it to business classes?
What? The amendments, we can do that.
Thank you. Any other discussion? And if there's none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, Robert. I need Danny on my side. He can keep it.
Motion passes.
I need Danny on my side. All right, first read, please, Jerry.
Yes, sir. This is is an ordinance amending Chapter 15 of the City of Dunwoody Code of Ordinances by changing the requirement for documentation of gross receipts at the time. First read.
All right, first read. I encourage you, the other council might not have, but they will, you and I will keep it going straight here.
Thank you. I appreciate all the help.
Yeah. And first read, no discussion on that. So would you please read the resolution, Ms. President?
Yes, sir. That would be Resolution 2008-1229, a resolution adopting and approving the rules and procedures for the City Council meetings and public hearings for the City of Dunwoody.
So moved. The change that was made here is the invocation was added back into the rules and procedures, and I circulated the invocation, which I think would be appropriate for this body to read before the Pledge of Allegiance, and the invocation reads, at this council meeting, help us to make decisions which keep us faithful to our mission and reflect our values. Give us strength to hold to our purpose, wisdom to guide us, and a keen perception to lead us. And above all, keep us charitable as we deliberate. As the invocation.
Okay. Thank you, Dan. Any discussion, further discussion on that?
Yes. Is that included now? Is it now, or do we have to make amendment to us?
It's in there.
It's in
there. And it's as effective as the next meeting.
The worst invocation.
You don't have the invocation not in there?
No, just the consider section 13, page 4. The word in there, the words are not.
Yeah, right.
The words are
John.
I did some legal research, or layman's legal research, if you call what I do on the internet, looking around for what's happened in other situations. Is a standardized invocation, as much as I like the words in which Councilman Ross has presented, does that give a... Is there a legal problem having a standardized invocation? I gave some legal research or something in the sense of a...
I read that thing, John, that you sent out.
I don't have it with me, or else.
Yeah, and I think it said that we could not enforce that on a clergy to give that invocation, but as a body, which we're doing here, I think it would be appropriate.
Again, I have no problem with the words. I want to make sure that we're legally sound to do so.
Okay, Brian.
Yes. I don't believe that this is actually an endorsement of any particular religion. I think that this words as it stands being standardized would pass muster.
A better use, just allow for invocation and choose different people to do the invocation.
Right.
Just to make it...
Just like we do for the Pledge of Allegiance, that's the intent.
Yeah, it'll be up to your call. I believe you adopt this to make it a standard invocation. I believe it would be constitutional.
Okay.
I think you could also do the alternative, invite different... denomination, religious leaders to come and speak, as long as you allow all equal opportunity for all religions to come. And
okay.
That would also
That's it. All right. Any other discussion? Any other questions? Any other questions? Discussions? I see none. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
All right.
What did we actually just pass?
The one as presented that included.
We just passed the
resolution.
Get the
that Jody.
Right. Was your invocation.
Point of order.
Yes.
I actually have some other changes that I'm planning to suggest. So I assume we're voting on his motion, his amendment to include this text as part of.
Just to keep that legal here, I'm going to make a motion to reconsider.
This is starting to sound like the legislative.
The motion that I had.
Reconsideration.
The motion I had was to approve the resolution as presented. And in that presentation on page 4, there is an invocation listed on the documentation.
There's no standard language.
There's no standard language, but it's an invocation. Okay. And that's what passed.
That's what passed. That's what
if you want to include the actual language, then.
It would need to be
restated
or redone.
So we need to.
Another motion could be presented.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to reconsider.
Second.
Okay, there's reconsideration.
Second.
Discussion on it, please.
Any discussion?
there any discussion?
There's not a, all there is a motion on the floor for consideration, but you need to have something as you're considering.
It'll be consideration.
Yeah.
Right.
We're considering that language.
The motion, reconsider the motion to adopt and approve the amended rules and procedures of the city council.
Okay. Hold on, everybody hold their fire here from council until we hear from Brian. Is this procedurally correct?
I think it's fine, yes.
Okay. So, do I need a second on that?
You did. He had Councilmember Taylor and Councilmember Shore.
Do I need discussion on that?
No, you need to clear no
discussion. Okay, then there's no discussion and we will take a vote on favor.
Point of information. I have an amendment to make at which point this semi gets settled. I have something on the same subject, same section, but I have an amendment to make.
So as I understand it, what we'll be voting on is bringing this thing back to life.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so we're at a vote. No more nothings. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay.
All right, now we're back to
Brandon.
Okay, I'm brand new.
All right, wait, breast length, and watch your words here.
Okay. I move we accept the resolution adopting and approving amended rules and procedures for the city council meeting.
I'll second.
With the exact words that Councilmember Ross has presented
to us? No, I can have an amendment to that.
Okay. I can't do that.
All
I can do is bring the motion back on.
Okay. Yeah. All right, thank you. There's a second. We were going to have discussion on this, and I will point to Roth first.
I'd like to offer an amendment to include the language that was presented as the amendment to that motion.
There's a second on that discussion. Seeing no discussion, all in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, we're back to as amended. Other discussion? Yes, Mr. Hannigan.
I move that the resolution on rules and procedures be amended to provide public comment before each agenda item in which the council will vote upon a tally of a total of 5 minutes to speak in favor of and 5 minutes to speak in opposition. Public comment prior to any.
I'll second.
All right, second discussion on that.
This will be
Don. I guess. Do we want to make that to the discretion of, I mean, if we have anybody that wants to, I mean, I guess
right.
Normally, would that be every, we're talking about every single issue that you vote on?
That we vote on.
Vote on prior.
When we're changing the legislation.
Every single item that we're changing. That would be every resolution, every ordinance, every...
So I'm just looking at public comments
right now. Oh, I understand. I understand. It was. If you remember our work session, we had a bunch of comments going back and forth that we needed to somehow mirror DeKalb County, where they have public comments so that we can get the feedback from the citizens prior to making our decisions, instead of talking after, pro-con, 5 minutes each.
Yes,
In all due respect, John, I think we have the transparency we needed. It's online. It's on our website. Everybody can read it. Everybody can come and comment before the meeting. Just because DeKalb County doesn't make it right for Dunwoody. In fact, just the opposite maybe, but I understand your point, but I also understand the idea that if you take a look at the audience here tonight, there are now about 8 or 9 citizens left instead of 40 or 50 in the late night, and that's what this will produce. So I think everybody can make their comment. They also all know our email. They also all know our phone number. And I'm sure you get just as many as I do. Just to give you an idea, today working on Chapter 27, that started this morning at about 9 o'clock for me. So there's plenty of time for everybody to make a comment. And I don't understand any more comments that are needed other than the opening comments when everybody is allowed to stand up and comment on anything that's on the agenda. And we can get their feedback that way, electronically, and by phone. I think that's very ample. Once we get the city up and running, we get the agendas down to a minor thing, I think we could reconsider that at that time. But when you've got almost 3.5 pages here. I think we're doing our due diligence now in informing the citizens and letting them have their due say.
Thank you, Danny.
Any other discussion?
I'll add on. I think I agree. I think the intent of it is good, but I think it may be a little premature where we are as a city and so much that we're having to accomplish now. So I would second that this may be best done at a later date. Any other discussion? All right. So all in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
I didn't get a count.
We're
voting on the amendment to have public comment after every item
before every item for 5 minutes pro con for the things in which we're voting upon.
Okay. For clarification. So all in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. Nay. That amendment fails. We're back to the original. Yes, Robert.
I have two suggested changes. I'll do them individually. The first one is section 17 of the voting on page, your page numbers. Page 5. The first sentence there says, under normal circumstances, passage of a motion shall require the vote of at least 4 council members. That actually is in conflict with our charter, which simply says that it must be a majority of those voting and at least 3.
But, actually, it shall require a vote of 4 council members unless we're an affirmative vote of those present. That's actually what is in the charter. But I was actually reading it earlier. It was requiring a vote of at least 3 affirmative, and that is what this says.
Four
have to vote.
There has to be a majority of those 4.
Okay, and so require the vote that at least 4 council members vote.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right, so I think this is actually correct. I may have misinformed you.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Okay. So, okay. But just so everybody understands, if 5 people are there, that's 4. And if 3 of them vote yes, it's done.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Yeah. Same with 4.
Same with 4. It doesn't say 4 yes.
Okay.
So I will draw that one. Okay. The other suggestion that I got, and it does emulate something DeKalb does, but hear me out. DeKalb has a process they call normal course. And the normal course is a minority rights provision. And what it does is it allows any member of the county commission to delay a vote one time from one meeting to the next meeting. So it's designed to slow down a process in the event that somebody feels like something hasn't been considered fully enough. So I like that rule. Elaine Boyer, our commissioner, uses it, I think, very effectively down there. I think it's important. So I'm going to make the motion that we add a new section 17A called deferral. Upon the request of the mayor or a member of the city council, an item up to vote can be deferred for one meeting. This normal course deferral may not be repeated on any item previously deferred in accordance with this provision.
Okay, is there a second on that?
Second.
Is there a second discussion?
I could see it coming in handy. I could see it being needed. I could see it when there's a relatively small quorum, or when there's the opportunity to have a larger quorum or the next meeting through. If the minority could have the opportunity to defer something for one meeting, I think it makes sense. If next week, when there's only 4 of us here and 3 of us decided to make a number of amendments, that 4th person could defer. I like the idea.
All right, any other discussion on that? Okay. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Nay. Nay. Passed. Motion carried.
Here's the word. Go back to the original one.
All right, now we're back to the original as amended. Any other discussion on this? No discussion? All right, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? All right. Motion passed. Resolution passes. Where are we?
We are on item, the intergovernmental agreement with DeKalb County Police Services. Would you like me to read that?
Yes, please.
We have an ordinance amending chapter 15. Wait. I was going backwards. I don't want to go backwards.
No, please don't.
Please forgive me. Okay. We have resolution 2008-1230. This is a resolution to approve and authorize an intergovernmental agreement between the City of Dunwoody and DeKalb County for police services.
Thank you.
I move we approve it as written.
I'll second. Discussion on this. Yes, Kenny.
I have some problems with that, with this motion, and it basically boils down to spending a lot of the taxpayers' dollars on something that we don't know what we're going to get. And there's no quantification in here. And under services, my example on page 3, article 6, it says, during the term of this agreement, the county shall provide the same police services to the city that are provided to unincorporated DeKalb County in 2009. My question is that been defined? What is going to be provided to unincorporated DeKalb County in 2009? And such police services shall equal to or exceed the police services provided by the county in 2008 within the area that comprises the territorial limits of the city. We are not paying a low amount. This is not a low amount. $430,000 is a big figure, especially when you come to our budget. For three cities, it comes up to 1.3 mil, basically. On the pro side, I do like the 30-day kickout. It has helped us immensely with a 60-day kickout. There's a serious problem. I am still of the opinion that our police force will be up and running on 1 April. And I'd like anybody to comment differently on that, since it was quoted in the paper today that one of the local papers that we're not sure that we will have the police department running on 1 April. So that is my big concern. If they were giving it to us for $300,000 or something like that, down in the low figures, maybe. But I do not know, does anybody know what the services in 2009 are going to be provided or what the 2008 services are provided? I think our citizens have the right for that type of money that we're spending to have some indication of what those services are, how many people are going to be on the beat. I know when Sandy Springs and Fulton County had this, I know that was in there, and they actually went down every day when they checked in to make sure those people were, that number of officers were actually patrolling the streets. That is some of the guarantee that I'm looking for.
DeKalb County has done what it divided into three beats. And I think the difference is going to be between 2008 and 2009 in terms of actually what occurs is the fact that we're going to have Chief Billy Grogan actually be able to monitor what we're getting in the way of services. Where today we don't have that available. But a beat officer, a beat consists of 5.33 patrolmen. So we should have a total of some 16 people that are allocated to us now. Under the current operations, they do have the ability to move those people into another jurisdiction. If there's a problem on Buford Highway, they have the ability to move people over there. And we agreed that they would have that capability. On the other hand, if we have a wreck on I-285, they've also agreed from their position to bring people in to help us with an extraordinary situation like that. This is a short-term deal, and they're not going to reorganize their police force to accommodate Dunwoody, and they made that pretty explicit in our meetings with them. So it's going to be an organization that exists at the North Precinct that operates it like they did it in 2008, and that was the way we asked them to sign it.
Okay.
Yes, Eddie.
Could we ask the council to give us some of, and I know he was in on some of these negotiations, some of our alternatives if we did not accept it?
Okay. Now, if we don't accept this, the county is required by law to provide us the police services for the county, in which case they're also allowed to bill us for the direct actual cost to provide those services. They must provide those services for up to 2 years until we give them a 30-day notice to cancel that. So by law, they do have to continue maintaining the services, and they have the right to pay the direct actual cost. Does that answer your question?
No.
Okay, what do you...
if we decide not to do this,
right,
and they say direct actual cost, what are our alternatives to that? Do we just write them a check for direct actual cost, or do we have some type of a court litigation?
Well, they will, of course, bill us the direct actual cost. Now, if we disagree what the direct actual cost is, at that point, and we cannot have them agree, yes, the only choice would be to go to court to make that determination.
And on legal counsel, where do we stand?
What is the exact question there?
What is your opinion?
On what direct actual cost means?
No. A court of law is never actual, but what is your professional opinion on where we would... Where we would come out as far as the case that we put on
DeKalb
County.
All right. Let me take a stand at it.
Can I make a comment? Sure. Let me make a quick comment as well. We have an idea of what we think direct actual costs may be set at by Dr. Bell's figures. The latest was 600 and some change 1 month, and then it would vary. 680, then 580. So we know probably what they would bill us.
The methodology they've used.
The methodology they've used is the percentage of the population times the budget.
And the latest was more than that because they had varying costs. They had some front end costs that were for your months. Spike and then lower.
Councilmember, I prefer not to really, in the open session, discuss the potentialities and the arguments in terms of what our success would be. I would say, however, that the mayor has accurately and Mr. Ross has accurately described what they see their cost as being. And anything that we would do would be trying to do a definition of those costs. I think that from my perspective on it, even if the costs were $350,000 rather than $430,000, that weighing the potential of litigation and the level of litigation that it would take, I think you are better served to put your, just pay the money, get the services, the level of services that we get, and put all the efforts to get to the police department as quickly as you can, rather than, I don't think there's a positive risk reward, even in the event that eventually you might win. The cost of litigation would probably eat up a substantial share of what you want. And so, and in as much as you don't know what the result would be, I think that from my perspective that the council members who've negotiated have gotten have balanced the risk reward to a point that as your attorney I would suggest to you that you go ahead and accept that recommendation and go forward and put our efforts as quickly as we can to get the police department up at this point.
Dave. Thank you, Doug.
Councilman Shortle, your original premise was no definition for services to be rendered. Under what you would propose doing, if we were to take the alternate route that you suggested, we would still have no definition of rendered service, but we'd be in limbo in terms of what our cost would be. and I don't think either one of those would necessarily answer the question that you're asking for. So.
Okay. Any other discussion on this point?
I just have a couple comments. One, we did go out and look at other alternatives, just for the general public. We met with DeKalb Sheriff's Office. For certain reasons, just like the term of contract, that was not acceptable. We did talk with Sandy Springs. At the end of the day, as part of an interim policing agreement with them in the short term, at the end of the day, there was not, how should I say, the capacity to do that without really straining their force, and I think the political will to do that had diminished. The third option we looked at was a private military contractor, Blackwater International, and when we looked at that, they were going to bring people from out of state, and the per diem costs were going to have for a three-month period out of whack. So I'm not happy to pay $30,000 a month, but on the other side, the alternatives were rapidly diminishing at that point.
Any other discussion?
The only other thing I'd say is April 1, Chief.
Any other discussion on that? I see no discussion. All in favor of this IGA as written, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Please say nay.
Nay.
Thank you. Motion carries. All right, discussion
and vote. Can you read the resolution, please, Karen? Yes, sir. That will be Resolution 2008-1231, a resolution creating a sustainability commission to promote sustainability initiatives in the city of Dunwoody, Georgia, and to direct the city manager to pursue certification by the Atlanta Regional Commission, ARC, through its Green Communities Program.
Thank you.
I'd like to make a motion to move forward.
Second that.
Okay, discussion. Yes, John.
I put forward this proposal for a number of reasons. I believe that Dunwoody needs to be a bikeable, walkable community, that it needs to use our natural resources effectively, efficiently. Last week, I attended the Sustainable Communities training by the Atlanta Regional Commission. I have a number of documents and literature that I've put forward to the council. We have been working diligently on a Safe Routes to School grant for encouraging children to walk to school. This board would be looking at the feasibility of getting certified by the Atlanta Regional Commission, and I think it's a doable aspect. There was a lady in the audience tonight that had to leave. Her name is Patty Baker, and she writes a blog by the name of Sustainable Dunwoody, and she and I have been conversing. I think this is doable. I think it's worthwhile, and I hope it passes.
Thank you, Jim.
I would also like to make an amendment, if I could.
There's a typo.
There's a typo at the bottom of page 1. Instead of 155 points, to 175 points.
Just got worse. Okay. Any discussion on that? Like, does that even
need?
That's a script. Okay, I just want to make sure that was caught. It was 175 instead of 155.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
That's the points we need, right?
Yeah, that's the points you need to get certified at the lowest level.
All right. Any other discussion on this?
Yes, sir. Does this enhance our ability to get grants?
I would think that it would be something, if we're working towards it and we get that certification, I don't think it could hurt.
Any other questions regarding this? Does this require Denny to drive a golf cart now?
Bicycle.
We got stripped Denny's license.
Get those bicycles out of your driveway.
Any other discussion? All right, no discussion. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Other business, I've got... Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, everybody. Happy New Year. And any other new business? Yes,
Mayor, I've got one thing I'd just like to say. We have a young man who's in District 2, All Saints Catholic Church, that on the 27th of December is going to be receiving his Eagle Award. And that's not something that's very unusual for the city of Dunwoody, but what I'm going to tell you about is very unusual. He's a part of a family of 9 children, the Dakota family. They hailed originally from my home state of Louisiana. And they have eight boys and a girl. And all seven of his siblings have heretofore received an Eagle Award. He will be the eighth child in that family, and they've all received it from the same scoutmaster and the same troop in Dunwoody, Georgia. And this is a very unique thing to Dunwoody, Georgia, something we all should take pride in. And I also should say he's been accepted into West Point, where three of his brothers attended, and all three of his brothers also served in Iraq and Afghanistan. They've had two duties over there, as a matter of fact. So it's an outstanding family, and I congratulate Jeff Ducote on being the eighth person. And his younger sister, I might say, is working on her gold in the Girl Scouts as well. So, outstanding.
All right, thank you. Anybody else? Okay, we're going to move.
Announcement again at this meeting that the regular scheduled meeting on the 22nd will not occur?
That is correct. The regular scheduled meeting on the 22nd will not occur. And I've asked for the website to be updated. All right. Public comment? For any brave souls that are still here, you can shoot. Anybody? Raise your hand. All right, just to confirm everybody, since it's a light crowd at this time, I believe that I read the charter that I can adjourn these meetings without voting. I believe that's true.
I think that's true. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Adjourn! First, we can all just...